Brother Greg Newton. At least it was. Opening prayer, Jerry White. Our speaker today, Brother Henry Davis Jr. Sermon title, Meet Them Where They Are. Meet them where they are. Scripture is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19 through 23. Scripture reader, Greg Shriver. Presiding at the Lord's table, Wiley Edwards and Jerry White. Closing prayer, Vince Theomantero. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for today, for all the blessings of life, and for every opportunity that we have to serve Thee. And Father, we ask Thy blessings upon everyone who's here today, and upon those who had a desire to be here, but were unable. And Father, as we go through this service, we pray that if there's anyone present today who does not know you by the power of your word, that they will have courage and step out as the invitation is extended unto them. And be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm in the way, the bright shining way. I'm in the glory light way. Telling the world that Jesus is today. I'm in the glory light way. I'm in the glory light way. I'm in the glory light way. Heaven is nearer and the way growing clearer. I'm in the glory land way. This to the hall, the gospel call today. It is the glory land way. Wanderers come home, Lord, make the true way. For I'm in the glory land. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows more clear. I'm in the glory land way. Onward I go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. Hey, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is nearer and the way grows clearer. I'm in the glory land way.
Before the prayer, we'll sing number 711, 711.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour. Thank you.
Let's bow in prayer. Our Lord and Savior, we thank you for us being able to approach your throne, thanking you for all the wonderful blessings that you provide for us each and every single day. We thank you that we're able to gather in this room this morning. We're able to sing praises to your name and to glorify you. Father, we ask as we do so that you open our hearts, you open our minds, and you help us to understand your thoughts and your ways. Father, we ask that you watch over those in the congregation who are in need of special blessings, that they might feel that they may be able to join us again. But if not, Father, we ask that you take care of them and you bless them and that you are able to bring them back if it be your will. Father, we also ask a special blessing for those at MSU who are going through this trying time due to the shooting that happened, especially the families that have lost their loved ones, the one who was paralyzed, the ones that are having to deal with the shootings again. Father, I ask that you give them some comfort as they go through this time. Father, we also ask that you watch over the elders of this congregation as they shepherd us. We ask that you give them the wisdom that they need to be able to take care of the daily duties that they do so well. We ask that as you do so, that you give them the extra blessings that they so well deserve. Watch over the deacon of the congregation as Kenny takes care of taking care of our needs, and as we can take care of his. And that way we can work as a family together, Lord, and we become one as you would have us to be. Father, we ask that you watch over the leadership of this nation as they make the decisions that they need to make properly. We ask that as they do so, that they're able to help those in this country that are in need of different laws that will help take care of their needs. And as we take care of Ukraine, as the war continues on over there, we ask that you give those family comfort and that this war may end soon, be your will. Father, we ask that you watch over the lesson this morning. We ask that you open up our hearts and that we may listen intently and that we may go and preach the word to every living soul. For we know, Father, that we are the lamp on the light post, seen on a hill. We ask that we are able to tell those that are around us about your Son's saving grace. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prayer of Minds for the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 300.
When I survey the I come, but I
Christ Jesus came into the world and he gave himself as a living sacrifice for our sins. By reason, John 15:13, it reads that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Before us we have two emblems commemorating his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have the bread that represents his body that was crucified on the cross at Calvary. And we have the cup as the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We are so grateful and humble this morning, Father, that we all can assemble to remember our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, to remember how much he loved us, knowing that while we were sinners, Christ died for each and every one of us. We are grateful and we are thankful and humble to partake of this bread. For we give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we thank you that we're able to partake of this fruit of the vine. We thank you for the blood that flowed from Calvary that we might be able to be washed clean. Father, we ask that as we partake of it, that we remember Christ on the cross, the suffering that he did on our behalf, and to be able to rise to glory as he has, that we might be able to commune with you this day and remember him each first day of the week. As we go through the week, Father, we ask that we keep our minds ever on the cross all through the week. But Father, we ask that you help us to keep our minds now on the fruit of the vine as we remember him on this special day. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone was inadvertently overlooked, will you please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. We have another obligation unto God, another Christian duty, that is to be prepared to give back unto God the first fruits of our labor. We now have the privilege and the honor to do so. Let us bow. We are grateful and so humble, Father, for all of the gifts of life. I'm thanking you so greatly for all of the ways and the means that you provide for each and every living soul. We are grateful and thankful to give back in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we give you praise, honor, and glory in his name. Amen.
Let us mark 858. For the lesson, we'll sing number 33. Let's stand and sing this song.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus, who died and is now on our love. Hallelujah, Lamb of glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, Lamb of glory.
Yeah. scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. I'll be reading from the King James Version. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became as I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And now, Brother Davis.
Thank you, Greg. Good morning, church. It is always, always, always good to be able to stand here before you and give another portion of God's word. You know, we are so, so blessed to be able to get up out of our beds, you know, and come in and be able to just praise God, sing songs, and pray, and give fellowship one to another. It's always, again, good to see each and every one of you and to be able to be here to worship with you all. If you are visiting with us this morning, we want to let you know you are our honored guest. We're glad you decided to come and join us today. We ask that at the end of service that you don't run off. You give us an opportunity to meet each and every one of you. And we pray that so far this morning that our service under God has been both encouraging, uplifting, and edifying to you all. I want to say just first and foremost that we serve an awesome God. That God is alive. And he is wonderful, and he is watching. As Brother Gilbert always say, he sits high but looks low. You know, and we need to all, with every day that we have is a blessing. We need to be able to count our blessings, especially in the world that we live in today, and just thank God daily for just being a part of our lives and being our lives. To paraphrase 1 Peter 5 and 14, peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. So I want to start this morning and talk a little bit about time. When we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, the Bible speaks of everything in its time. It is a well-known passage that deals with the balance, the cyclical nature of life, and says that there is a proper time for everything. Now, the most interesting piece of this passage of scripture is that it has two things seen or placed close together in a contrasting effect. You know, a great big fancy word for that is a juxtaposition. You know, so to paraphrase a few of these in the scripture, just so we're talking about like birth and death, crying and laughing, mourning and dancing, embracing and parting. There is a time for finding and losing, keeping and giving, listening and speaking. There's also a time for love and hate, for war and peace. So why is this important? War and peace. So why is this important? Well, since you asked, I'm going to tell you. First, the timing of our activities is important. Killing someone, as is chronicled in Ecclesiastes 3 and 8, is generally considered evil and a crime. But, and we kind of talked about this, touched on this a few weeks ago in Sunday school, but that might change during a time of war. You know, when defending one's country can be considered a noble art. When we look at dancing, for an example, in verse 4, would perhaps be appropriate at a time of a celebration or a wedding or something like that, but definitely would not be so appropriate at a funeral. You know what I'm saying? So both our actions and the timing of those actions are so important to God. Second, the seasons in which certain events are proper are appointed by God. His plan for our lives involves a variety of experiences and activities. So, you know, where weeping and crying may be a part of life, it is not all of what life is. Laughter has its place too. That's Ecclesiastes 3 and 4. Construction is good in a time, but sometimes there's a time for deconstruction or breaking down. For an example, you know, we around here we to tear down old buildings to build up something brand new. There is a time for that. Ecclesiastes 3 and 11 reads, "He has made everything beautiful in his time, so that he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." So in other words, God makes everything happen. God makes everything happen at the right time. Yet none of us can fully understand all that he has done. And he puts questions in our minds about the past and the future. Now, you know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, we always say sometimes, I don't know why this is happening or these sort of things, but God has done this. He has said his ways is higher than our ways. All right? His thoughts is higher than our thoughts. This is why we have to trust his time. And we can't worry about what's going on in the future when the scripture clearly tells us that life is but a vapor. Jesus Christ would go ahead and reemphasize this in Matthew 6 and 34. What did he say? He said, "Don't worry about tomorrow. It will take care of itself. You have enough to worry about on today." And like I said, people need to accept that each day that we live, each day that we're able to get up out of our beds and do whatever it is we're going to do that day, is a gift from the hand of God. That's Ecclesiastes 2, 24 through 26. Why? Because Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 and 8 explains it, because God has a reason. He has a reason and a time for all things. For all things. People may be ignorant to God's timing. I don't mean ignorant as far as just not, you know, being stupid or crazy, but I'm talking about ignorant of timing. What God is going to do is what God is going to do, when he's going to do it. And we just need to be able to be patient and accept his time. But they are called to enjoy life in the present. That's in Ecclesiastes 3, 12, and 13. And to trust in God's might and to trust in God's authority. This is Ecclesiastes 3, 14, and 15. People say all the time that things happen for a reason. People say that all the time. We hear it all the time. But God offers much wisdom in the saying, there is a time. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. God is sovereign. Our activity in this world is meaningful as we rely upon his wisdom, his timing, and his goodness. I wanted to just bring that up because we're going to talk about time and everything happening in this time as we go through this lesson. So last week I wasn't here. Last week I had the pleasure of preaching at the Dexter Church of Christ, and you know, it's always good. It's always good to be able to fellowship with brethren of Christ and other buildings and stuff. It felt real good. It was good to see everyone there. And after all, as Christians, we are commanded to do what? We're commanded to go into the world. We're commanded to preach the gospel. We're commanded to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone in the world. That's in Mark 16 and 15. However, I was talking to Brother Gilbert this morning, and you know, I look around, and while we know God is going to bless each and every one of us for our time here to, you know, because of our attendance today, you know, and doing those things, if I look out in the foyer or if I look out in the parking lot, I don't see a throng of individuals rushing to the door to get here to receive God's word. That's because people are occupied doing other things, or they truly don't know about Christ, or let's face it, there's some folks out there that aren't trying to get to know him. But as Christians, this is where we come in. As Christians, this is where we come in. We need to understand that when we leave this building and we go about our lives, we, you and I, are the only church that some people will ever go to. Y'all didn't hear me out there. I got to tell you again. Listen, I said we are will be the only church that some people will ever go to. I started this morning talking about God's timing. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 6:2, he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I will tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. And in Romans 13:11, it reads, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when it first was believed. So we trust God's word, trust the word of God. Well, I'm sure we all do. And salvation is now nearer than we first believed. We must really, really, really get busy, folks, to bring the good news of God to the world. And since there isn't a strong throng of individuals beating down the doors of church buildings to hear the word of God, we're going to have to go and follow the examples of Jesus Christ. And that means to do what? Meet them where they are. Now, when I was text this morning, I'm going to read that again a little bit so we can understand a little bit more. It says, I'm not a slave, Paul would write in 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. He says, I am not a slave. I'm not anybody's slave. But I've become a slave to everyone so I can win as many people as possible. When I am with the Jews, I live like a Jew to win the Jews. They are ruled by the laws of Moses, but I am not. I live by the laws to win them. And when I am with people who are not ruled by the law, I forget the law. I forget about the law to win them. Of course, I never really forget about the law of God. In fact, I am ruled by the law of Christ. When I am with people whose faith is weak, I live as they do to win them. He's talking about empathy right here. I do everything I can to win everyone I possibly can. I do this all for the good news, the gospel, because I want to share in its blessings. So what he's talking about there is showing that compassion and that empathy when he's talking to these people, these non-believers, these people that are under law, these people who are doing everything else. And some of the people are just not going to come through the doors of these churches. So we got to go and see where they are and bring that good news to them, as the Bible has told us to do. One of the greatest examples of this is in Matthew 9:13. And we read in Matthew 9:13, it says, as Jesus was leaving, he saw a tax collector. King James Version says publicans. Named Matthew, sitting at the place for paying taxes. Now, just to give a little bit, we're going to talk about this a little bit more. But Matthew is a Jew that collected taxes for the Roman order. Okay, so that's one thing right there. Gave money to Roman citizens. Jesus said to him, follow me. Matthew got up and went with him. Later, Jesus and his disciples were having dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and other sinners were there also. Some Pharisees asked Jesus' disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and other sinners? And Jesus overheard them. And he said, listen, healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what the scriptures mean when they say, instead of offering sacrifices to me, I want you to be merciful to others. Now, Jesus Christ, on many occasions in the New Testament, quotes scripture. This happens to be from Hosea 6:6. This passage that he says, instead of offering sacrifices to me, I want you to be merciful to others. I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners. Folks, that's deep. That's deep. Okay, that's very deep. I'm going to break that down a little bit for you. He came to invite sinners. So where are sinners? The sinners are in the world. Where did he tell us to go? Into the world. To do what? Preach his good news. So let's look at this a little bit more. Matthew, who became an apostle, Matthew collected taxes from Israelites and gave the money to other Roman citizens. He received payments from the Roman authority. The Israelites considered him a traitor. He was considered a traitor. Matthew was having some sort of dinner party, dinner gathering with other tax collectors like him and other sinners. Now, some scholars believe that these sinners that they're talking about were people who weren't following the law of the time, because at this time we're still under the law. Jesus followed the law. Okay? But this was, they weren't following the law, or they weren't following the rules of the Pharisees. Okay? So these were considered undesirable people. But here, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is sitting amongst them. Okay, so the first thing I asked myself when I read this passage is like, man, Matthew must have a pretty big house. You know, he's got all the apostles there, he's got other folks there. So, but and these are folks that people don't particularly care for as far as in the religious order. So here our Lord is sitting amongst these people. Now think about that a minute. Let that just kind of permeate in your mind a little bit. Can you imagine if it were you or I sitting amongst these folks, sitting amongst these sinners, sitting amongst these people that don't worship like we do, don't believe like we believe? Can you imagine? Just like then, just like now, guess what? Somebody would have something to say. Somebody would have something to say. Can you imagine? Oh, man. I'm just thinking about it now. I saw Hank down at such and such place hanging out with so-and-so. I thought he was preaching. I thought he was doing this. I thought he loved the Lord. Think about that a minute. But here is Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's right here. Folks, listen to me. The purpose of good works and evangelism is to reach who? The lost. Jesus Christ makes that very clear. To reach the lost. This is in Matthew 5, 11, and 16. If you're coming to church every week, and you are doing everything you could, you are trying not to do what? You're not trying to get lost. You're trying to be saved. You're trying to be found. You want to be free. But there's folks out there, right, that they're not doing none of that. They're not doing what we're doing. Okay? They're lost. And Jesus Christ makes it very clear that as Christians, we are not to call on to barricade ourselves away from people that we see as a sinner. We're not supposed to look our nose down at them. Of course not. It is important to guard our friendships and our associations. Now, listen, make it very clear. We're not supposed to go and do what other folks do. We're not supposed to go. We had a lesson on that. We're supposed to come out amongst wickedness. We're supposed to come out of amongst those things. We're not talking about it. We're talking about what we bring to the table, not what they've already got there. Did y'all hear me? It's what we bring to the table, not what they've already got there. All right? So we're supposed to do it. However, as believers, we cannot live out of the love of Christ while avoiding all possible contact with people. We can't do that. There's people everywhere. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Self-labeled Christians or churches who turn up their noses to sinners. Now, this is deep. If you turn up your nose to sinners, and we're supposed to be trying to save the lost, right? That's like a doctor or a hospital who refuse to deal with sick people. Now think about that. And guess what? Guess what? There are some that do that. I can't help you. You don't have the right insurance. So I can't help you. Guess what we got? We got blessed assurance. We got blessed assurance. So listen, that's what we have. Second, Jesus was not condoning the wrong choices of the people. And this is big. He wasn't condoning what they was doing. Okay? He spent time with them. Okay? Showing love and kindness that does not require or does not imply endorsing anything that a person does or believes. Christ was introducing them to who? Himself. As the only way to be forgiven and redeemed. He was showing them that the true face of God, full of love, compassion for them. Simply put, he didn't discriminate against them. Okay? He didn't discriminate against them because of what they were doing or how they were living. Again, he came in with his light shining. He came in showing them him, who he is, what he has. Okay? He's done this many a times in the scriptures. Being the woman at the well in John 4, the wedding feast in Matthew 22, Jesus fellowshiped with everybody. He fellowshiped with everybody at celebrations, in their home, at the well, everywhere. He went with a purpose, but he did not go unarmed. Did y'all hear me? He did not go unarmed. And I'm not talking about a firearm, okay? That's right. Jesus met people where they were, and he was armed with the word of God, as we should be. As we should be. We should never go out unarmed. The Bible tells us all the time to go armed. You know, put on your full armor. You're supposed to go ready, equipped to do this stuff. Not going out there naked and not knowing what you're doing. Scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And 1 Peter 3, 15 through 17 says, but in our hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience as to those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than doing evil. So in other words, we've got to meet people where they are prepared, armed with the word of God. But don't beat people over the head with the Bible. Scripture tells us to be gentle. Have respect. You know, after all, after all the command, it is to what? Teach the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the good news. So what we have to do is we can't fall into the anger and the frustration of the world. We're supposed to be loving, kind people. We have to follow those examples of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is some of the greatest examples I've ever seen of just being around people that other people have alienated, other people have ostracized, and he is giving love. He's doing it today. He is doing it today. He's done it with each and every one of us. And it's not for us to keep. It's for us to go out and share. You know, Jesus Christ gives. He gives a couple of commands. As he's trying to bring the lost to us, he tells you to come. He says, come. Come to me. Come to me. And then when you make that decision to come to Christ, then he changes around. Remember we talked about time? The juxtaposition. There's coming and going. Here's another. Jesus Christ said, come to me. Then he tells you to go and preach the good news. Go and tell people about me. Go and tell people about what I did for all your salvation. Coming and going. Okay? So when Christians, we make the commitment to go into the world and preach the gospel, a little bit of advice I want to give you. Don't go alone, and don't go anywhere where God did not tell you to go. Let me tell you that again. Don't go alone, and don't go anywhere where God did not tell you to go. Listen, it's beautiful to love the Lord, but you got to get out of your own understanding. There's people out there, I'm going to go through this, I'm going to teach these people about God. Did God tell you to go over there? Are you equipped to go over there? Are you ready? No. God does not leave us in the lurch. He doesn't leave us out there on the island. He doesn't say, okay, you're saved now, handle the business. No. You got to study. You got to be ready. You got to be prepared. You got to be equipped. All right? You don't go alone. He didn't even have his apostles go anywhere by themselves. He didn't do that. Follow his examples, okay? Pray first. Pray first. Pray without ceasing. That's important. You got to talk to God. You can't go on a job and just start doing that job without instructions. That's your first and last day. I promise you. You cannot do that. Same as applies here. Okay? Be confident. Secondly, be confident. The Bible says in Romans 1 and 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, first to the Jew and also to the Greek and some to the Gentiles. But therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. See? Any other thing? Don't, like I said, don't be ashamed. Be confident. And in the end, about you don't have to be a great orator. You don't have to be a great speaker to do God's will, to preach the gospel. Think about it. Peter and Philip were fishermen. Paul was a tent maker. Paul wrote a majority of the epistles in the New Testament. You can do these things without having to worry about that God is going to be with you. He goes ahead of you. You know, our light must shine. Jerry said this. I asked Jerry to read my notes this morning. Because he said, our light, he said in his prayer, our light must shine everywhere we go. our lights must shine everywhere we go. And the thing about it is, and I don't want to get it twisted with anybody else. I'm not suggesting that we go into places that we're not comfortable. I'm not suggesting anything like that. But when God leads you, when God guides you, when you allow God to order your steps, this is what I'm talking about. This is why you cannot go alone. This is why you cannot just lean on your own understanding on these things. Again, God commands us to come to Him, but then He commands us to go. Meet them where they are. Meet them where they are. People are not going to be walking in the churches because, you know, Christianity is taking a lot of beating these days. It's taking a beating. But the Word tells us what we need to do. You have to ask yourself sometimes, are people out there doing what they're supposed to be doing according to Scripture? If not, why not? And this is where we come in. This is where we come in. And like I said, there's going to be places sometimes, there's going to be locations. And I don't care. It doesn't have to be some seedy bar down on the corner. It could be the grocery store. It could be the car wash. You know, it could be the hospital. You never know. You have to be prepared because you never know when you're going to have to minister and give that good news to somebody. But if you listen to God, and what I said before, timing is what? Timing is everything. And if you got the right timing, you got to be prepared. Because it may not be as simple as, let me get myself together because I got to go over here and do something. No. You might be just going out there to pump gas. And you might be there for a couple hours, depending on who's there, who God has sent put in your place in that time to give them that good news. And I know we have many here already that's doing that right now, that's bringing people in to hear the good news. And God bless you all that is doing that work. You know, so again, meet them where they are. Preach your testimony. Preach what God has done in your life. Let people know what God has done in your life. Okay? And say, listen, I could have been here. This should have happened to me. That should have happened to me. I could have had that. But God. Listen, this is important. Okay? When we look at the souls here, the world, there's millions and millions of people out there. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, just in our community alone. We got work to do. Patience at hand. You know, so I'm saying right now, meet them. Meet them where they are. Trust in the Lord and trust in His time. So, that's my lesson this morning. If you're here this morning, you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? See, understand that God's already done His part by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the remissions of our sins, that whoever shall believe it shall be baptized and shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, to join the body of Christ, understand, you've heard His word. Believe in His word, repent of your sins, confess faith that Jesus is Lord, and be baptized, and come out the water, the waters of newness of life, and God then add you to His church. Acts 2:47, not by vote or decision of man, but God alone adds you to His church. If you are already a member, Christian, and you strayed away for whatever reason, remember Jesus will say, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Scripture also say that He is strong where we are weak. That's in 2 Corinthians 12:9-11. Come back to Christ and then go tell the good news of the gospel wherever they are. The Father is waiting to rejoice and celebrate in your return. And if you are in need of prayer, I say it every time, prayer works. It's a guide, it's a conversation, it's getting close to God. Prayer works. I have seen it, you have seen it, it is amazing. In closing, may God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever your needs are this morning, we ask that you come forward, have a seat on the first pew. That's together. We stand and sing the song of invitation.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus calling tenderly upon your ear. Sweet His cry of love and pity calling, never ended that day and year. Hear the labor and
Yeah.